Good morning. We are on Tzadi Bet Amud Bet in the Ein Yaakov Mavor on page Samach Dalad. Again, we read this yesterday, I'm going to read it again today and go into it piece by piece. Detanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Meitim Shechaya Yechezkel Amdu Araglihem Vamru Shira Vameto. Rabbi Eliezer says the Mesim that Yechezkel revived stood up on their feet, sang Shira, and died. Uma Shira Amru. What Shira did they say? Hashem Memit Betzedek Umechayev Rachamim. Hashem puts to death with justice and revives with Rachamim. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Shira Zo Amru. Rabbi Yeshua says they said this Shira. Hashem Memit Umechayev Morid Shol Vayal. Hashem puts to death and brings to life, takes down to the grave, and brings back up. So let's stop right there a second. What is the difference between these two shiros? So we're just looking at the words, aside for the fact that one is a pasuk and one does not seem to be a pasuk. The first one, Rabbi Eliezer says, says Hashem puts to death with justice and brings back to life with rachamim. It mentions justice and rachamim, and it only mentions dying once and coming back once. The one that Rabbi Yeshua cites, pasuk in Shiras Chana in Shmuel Aleph, says, does not mention justice and rachamim. It does mention either. It's just poetic, and it says the same thing twice, that Hashem puts to death and brings back to life, or it refers to two dying twice and Chias HaMesim twice. So the Marsha says, if you skip to the next page, and then we'll come back. Page Samech Vav. U'manin hu meitim shechaya Yechezkel. Who were these dead people, Yechezkel revived. So Gemara brings five opinions. Rav says they were the Bnei Ephraim who miscalculated the time for Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shmuel says they were people who denied Ches HaMesim. Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba says that they were people who had a droplet of mitzvah in them. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says they were people who decorated the Beis Hamikdash with Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yochanan says that they were people who Nebuchadnezzar put to death. So the Rasha says that Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the Shira was Hashem Mimit V'tzedek Mechayev Rachamim, he would hold like Shmuel, that these were people who denied Tchias HaMesim. And what was the purpose of this Tchias HaMesim? It was one, to show that they denied Ches HaMesim. Hashem says, I'm going to show them that I can do Ches HaMesim. Why would he want to do that? We'll see. But that's what Hashem says. You denied Ches HaMesim, I'm going to show you that I can do it. Now, why do they deny Ches HaMesim? Either they deny that Hashem has the physical ability to do Ches HaMesim, in which case, just by showing them that he can do it, then he's taught them a lesson. Or, because they said logically, why do people die? People die, presumably, because of averos. Now, we know the other reasons why people die. People die because their time is up. People die, Gemara says, people die because of ayin hara. That's a discussion for another time. But these people who denied Ches HaMesim, Marsha says they presumably rationalize that if people died because of their sins, why should they come back? So when they did come back, they sang Shira. Hashem meimit betzedek. Hashem put people to death with justice for a reason. And nevertheless, mechayev rachamim, he brings them back with rachamim, even though they're not deserving. And so their doubts were answered. So that's when Marsha says, Rabbi Eliezer's opinion of what Shira they said would go together with Shmuel's opinion of who these people were. On the other hand, Rabbi Yoshua's opinion that the Shira was Hashem v'imit m'chayem or each ol v'yal, which suggests two deaths and two t'chias ha-mesim, two deaths and two t'chias ha-mesim. So the Marsha says that this would go together with any of the five opinions that attribute sin to these people, which seems to be referring to the opinions of Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, that they were people who had no merits whatsoever, or they were people who decorated the Beis Hamikdash with Avodah Zarah. So they died because of their sin. They died prematurely because of their sins. Hashem brought them back to finish their lives. They died again. And then they will come back at Tchias HaMesim with everybody else. So that's why their Shira was Hashem Meimit Umchaye, he puts to death and brings back to life. He Morid Shol Vayal, he puts them down in the grave and brings them back up. So that's how the Marsha connects them. I said that those seem to be the only two who attribute it to Avera. I guess denying Tchias HaMesim would also be an Avera. As far as whether the Bnei Ephraim leaving Mitzrayim early was an Avera, the Marsha says it wasn't. Marsha says that the reason the Gemara emphasizes Elu Bnei Ephraim Shemanula Ketzetaru, these are the sons of Ephraim who calculated the Ketz, the end, and made a mistake. It says, V'haragum anshei Gat ha'noladim v'aretz. They were killed by people of Gat. Why does the Pasuk tell us specifically who killed them? So Marsha says, because the only reason they were Chayiv Misa was because they entered the land of the Plishtim in violation of the covenant between Avraham and Avimelech. the Pasuk tells us, it was the Plishtim who killed them. That's why they deserve to be killed. It seems that merely leaving Mitzrayim, trying to get out of Mitzrayim on their own before Hashem sent a Redeemer there was nothing wrong with that, which is interesting, would seem implications for other discussions about doing things to try to hasten the Geula or jump the gun on Mashiach coming, and we will talk about that subject further when we get to the sugyas about Mashiach. But I just thought it was an interesting note there. Okay, back in the Gemara, going backwards again to page Samach Hei. So we read the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Third line of page Samach Hei, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Emet Mashal Haya. Rabbi Yehuda says, truth, it was a mashal. Amar lo Rabbi Nechemya, im emet lama mashal, bi mashal lama emet, ela be emet mashal haya. If it was truth, why do you say it was a mashal? And if it was a mashal, why do you say it was a truth? Rather say, in truth, it was a mashal. It seems to me like there should be something very deep going on in these words. I have looked high and low and not found anyone who discusses it, other than to say that Rabbi Nechemiah found Rabbi Huda's words confusing or misleading, and so he clarified them. And why didn't Rabbi Huda just say mashal? Because the word be'emet is, Gemara says, kol be'emet halacha. Wherever it uses the word emet, it means, for sure, this is the truth. So Rabbi Yehuda was emphasizing, for sure, this is the truth, that it was a mashal. I feel like there should be more to it than that, but I have not been successful. The Rambam writes, mentioned before, is Mamar Tchias HaMesim, which he wrote to defend himself And the Rambam holds that Tchias HaMesim will be at the beginning of the days of Mashiach. Then everybody will die and go to Olam Haba without bodies. And Rambam was attacked very strongly by his contemporaries, other Rishonim. The Ravid, in his notes to Mishnah Torah, writes, this man is coming very close to denying Tchias HaMesim, and other strong statements from other contemporaries of the Rambam. So Rambam wrote this letter to defend himself. He says, that which people claim that I said that Tchias HaMesim is just a mashal, it is an absolute lie, and it's just lashon hara. It's not, simply not true. My works have been published. Everybody knows. Everybody has a Rambam. They can read them. Where did I say such a thing? Zulati. He says the Rambam writes clearly that there will be Tchias HaMesim. He just has a very different idea of what Tchias HaMesim is than everyone else. Zulati ima marnuhu b'mashikvar amru chachmei Yisrael. The only place I might have said that Tchias HaMesim is a mashal is referring to something where Chazal themselves said it was a mashal. Kegon meitei Yechezkel, asher chachmei Talmud chalukim ba. The Chazal in the Gemara argue about whether the whole incident with the dry bones in Yechezkel actually happened or was a mashal. He says, as I already wrote several times in Perush Mishnayos, anything that has no practical consequence, you can't say, I paskin like the Rambam, that Tchias HaMesim is going to be this, or I paskin like the Ramban or the Ravid, that Tchias HaMesim is going to be that. Okay? It's not for us to paskin. As no, if I need to know, is doing such and such bishul on Shabbos, and there are different opinions, I need to paskin. But if it has no practical consequence, it is impossible. Rambam says it's impossible to paskin in matters of hashkafa, in matters of predicting the future or interpreting psukim. We're not just guessing about the future. For interpreting psukim to understand the future, there's no such thing as psak halacha. We'll have to come back, and again later on Daf Tzadi Zayin, we will talk about the Rambam's claim that there are 13 things that a Jew has to believe, or he's not a Jew in good standing. He seems to be paskening halacha, and there are those who argue with him. And we'll, when we get there, we'll talk about that. Okay. But the Rambam says, because there's an opinion in the Gemara that it's a mashal. So if I said it's a mashal, that the mesim of Yechezkel is a mashal, you can't blame me for that. Okay. Otherwise, he's understandably very offended that anyone would claim that he said Tchias HaMesim is a mashal. The reason that would come up is because the Rav Sadia Gaon brings, we saw that there are people who say, the whole concept of Tchias HaMesim is a mashal for the rebirth of the Jewish people in the time of the Geula. To translate that into modern terms, when I was young, we had an Israeli cousin over for the Seder. I think she was born in Argentina, made Aliyah as a child, grew up on a non-religious to anti-religious kibbutz, came to us for a Seder. And during the course of reading the Haggadah, she commented, I always thought the Pesach Seder was about the events of 1948. I never knew anything about this exodus from Egypt. And similarly, Rav Sadia Gaon writes that people claim that the whole concept of Tchias HaMesim is about some future redemption of the rebirth of the Jewish people, not about the idea of dead people getting up and coming back. There's a parish on Yechezkel called Mincha Gedola. by Rav Moshe of Frankfurt, who I don't know very much about. It is printed in the new art scroll Mikros Gedolos on Yechezkel, and on page 597 in the art scroll Mikros Gedolos, he says, in my humble opinion, there's no machlokas here whether this whole story actually happened or not. Everyone agrees that it happened. Okay. But the machlokas is, what should we learn from it? The one who says there was a mashal doesn't mean that it didn't happen. He means, remember, the context in which the Gemara brought this was, Gemara asked, maybe we should learn from the Mesim of Yechezkel that people will die again after Tchias HaMesim, just like they did. And the Gemara answered, no, it was a mashal. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. It means you can't learn from all the details. It was brought in Tanakh to teach us a lesson about the rebirth of the Jewish people, not about people coming back to life. We do believe in people coming back to life, but this wasn't here to teach us. And the proof is that we had 18 proofs of Tchias HaMesim, and this wasn't one of them. Okay. This was this story of the Mesim of Yechezkel was exactly to teach us about, as a mashal for the rebirth of the Jewish people in the future, as a nation. And therefore, we cannot learn from the details of how it happened what Tchias HaMesim will be like in the future, because that's not why it's here. So that is the interpretation of Mincha Gedola. Gemara goes on and says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Osh, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Meitim Shechaya Yechezkel, Alu L'Eretz Yisrael V'Nasu Nashim V'Olidu Banim U'Banot. The Mesim that Yechezkel revived went up to Eretz Yisrael, got married, had sons and daughters. Amad Rehuda ben Metera Al Raglav Amar Rehuda ben Metera stood up in the Beis Medrash and he said, Ani Mibnei Bnehem, I am one of their descendants. V'Lalu Tfilin Sheniach Li Aviyav Mehen. And these are the tefillin that I inherited from them. Rav Reuben Margolyos says, this would explain a difficult Tosfos in Masechet Pesachim. You know the famous story about the Goy who bragged to Rehuda ben Becerra that he was eating from the Korban Pesach, even though Torah says that a Goy may not eat from the Korban Pesach. And Rehuda ben Becerra said that, have they given you the fat of the tail? And he said, no. Rehuda ben Becerra said, then you're missing the best part. Next time, go ask for the fat of the tail. So the next year, the guy went up, he asked for the fat of the tail. The fat of the tail, of course, is burnt on the Mizbeach. So people realize there's something up. They investigated. They found out he's a guy and taught him a lesson. Tosfos asked a question. Why wasn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Ola L'Regel? Tosfos gives a few answers. One of which was, he was potter from Aliyah L'Regel because he didn't own land in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Reuven Margolyos asks, how could it be he didn't have land in Eretz Yisrael? He may have sold his land and not owned land in Eretz Yisrael, but every single Jew has a portion of land in Eretz Yisrael, a hereditary portion. So even if he sold it, it's coming back at the Yovel, he has land in Eretz Yisrael. Should have been Chayv and Aliyah L'Regel. How could there be someone who doesn't have land in Eretz Yisrael? Based on our Gemara, we understand. Because Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says, I'm a descendant of those people that Yechezkel brought back to life. Who are those people who Yechezkel brought back to life? One of the opinions is they were descendants of the tribe of Ephraim who left Mitzrayim prematurely. Eretz Yisrael was divided among the people who left Mitzrayim with Moshe Rabbeinu. So the people who left Mitzrayim prematurely had no portion in Eretz Yisrael. Yehuda ben Becerra was their descendant. He has no portion in Eretz Yisrael.
Right? If they died, wouldn't their portion have gone to the existing Yarshim at the time?
No, they never had a portion.
Because Eretz Yisrael, I'm saying according to any of the other opinions. when they died, it would have gone to their existing Yarshim at the time.
Right.
And then after Tchias HaMesim, they don't own it because it's already been inherited by someone else.
I presume it would have to be unwound. That's a legal term for undoing a transaction, unwinding the transaction. So Gemara continues. Uman ninhu meitim shechaya Yechezkel. Who were these mesim? You asked yesterday, if I recall correctly, who is this question according to? If we say it's a mashal, then what do you mean, who were these mesim? So the contemporary sefer on Perek Chela, Kol Yisrael, and he brings from another sefer, Alei Diona, who says that the Gemara asked this question right now after Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra said, I'm one of their descendants. Well, now there can't be any discussion anymore about whether it was a mashal or what happened to them. Okay. Now we know it really happened. So now the Gemara asks, okay, it really happened. Tell me who they were. Okay. So it ties in. It directly connects to, because your question yesterday was, how would the one who says it's a mashal explain Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra getting up and saying, I'm their descendant? So this Alei Diona brought in a sefer Kol Yisrael is saying, now you can't say it's a mashal anymore. It's a little difficult because the Gemara, the whole reason we got into this was because the Gemara said that the Tana de Beliau holds it was a mashal. It would seem that he's arguing with Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra and saying you're mistaken in thinking that you're their descendant. Or it's like the Mincha Gedolah said, even though it's a mashal, it still happened. It's just, we're just saying it's a mashal in the sense of what can we learn from it. Okay. The Yad David was the chief rabbi of France in the time of Napoleon. And he was the head of, Napoleon established something he called the Sanhedrin to legislate for all the Jews of France, and after great inner turmoil about whether to participate, the Yad David, Rav Yosef David Zinsheim, agreed to be the president of Napoleon's Sanhedrin on the theory that if I do it, I can control it. If somebody else does it, who knows what will happen with this organization. So he asks, who cares who they were? Whatever happened, happened. It's history. What difference does it make? What are we going to learn from it? So he answers that one possibility is that Gemara was bothered by, since we said that the Mesim who came back to life are not going to die again, then why did these people come back to life and die? Who are these people that had a different rule applied to them? So that's what the Gemara's question is.
Not that the rule was wrong.
No, they seem to have been under different rules. The general rule is that Mesim who will come back won't die again, and these people did die again. Who were these people? And Gemara answers, at least two of the answers are, they were big Rishayim. That is the Gemara's question, and the Gemara's answer is they were people who were not Tzaddikim, and therefore, as punishment, either because they denied Ches HaMesim or because they worshipped Avodah Zarah, they got this special treatment of coming back to life and dying again. The question is, why would Hashem bring back such Rishayim? The Gemara says there are people who denied Ches HaMesim, or there are people who decorated the Beis HaMikdash with Avodah Zarah, or they were people who had no merits whatsoever. That's three of the five opinions. Why would Hashem bring back such people? So the truth is that Rashi himself alludes to this. On page Samach Zayin, the third Rashi, Hatzamot ha'ele kol beit Yisrael heima. Rashi says, Hatzamot halalu siman l'chol Yisrael heim. It's all a sign. Rashi seems to be saying, even though it happened, but the point of it is to be a sign, that the Jewish people will have tchias amesim just like these people did. Shreyanu amru avdati kvateinu. They said, we've lost hope. Now they'll know that I am chayim esim. Siman zeh l'chol Yisrael. This is a siman for all of Yisrael. Shgam heim atidim l'chayat. That they will also come back to life. They didn't come back because they deserved it. People denied chesem esim, don't have chesem esim. Nevertheless, Hashem brought back these wicked people as a siman. The Yad Ramah, also Rishon, one of the Rishonim I was alluding to before, I said it attacks the Rambam very strongly for his views on Chesem Esim. So he says, similarly, a little differently, Hashem wanted to show them that they denied Chesem Esim wrongly. The Kokach Lama, why? Why was it important for Hashem to show them that? As a sign for all of the Jewish people that there will be Tchias HaMesim. That is how the Rishonim, Rashi and Yad Ramah, explain why Hashem chose to do Tchias HaMesim for such Rishayim. This is taken to a deeper, interesting level by a sefer called Parshat Drachim. Parshat Drachim is a sefer, a unique kind of drush. It's a sefer from the 1600s, and the style of it is to analyze Tanakh. This is the source, let's just put it this way. Sefer Parshat Drachim is the source of something that everybody knows, but doesn't necessarily realize where it came from. The machlokas between Yosef and his brothers was whether they were Jewish or not. And when Yosef said they were eating Eivor Min HaChai, they were eating Eivor Min HaChai for what qualified as Eivor Min HaChai for a goy, but there's a different definition for a Jew. They said they're Jewish, so they could eat it. He said they're not Jewish, so they couldn't eat it. And that's a very famous explanation for what was going on between Yosef and his brothers. It comes from Sefer Parshat Drachim. That's the style to interpret Tanakh in terms of halachic machlokuses in the Gemara. So he asks, he says, if Hashem had a reason for doing Tchias HaMesim in time of Yechezkel, why would he choose people who denied Tchias HaMesim, people who had no merit, people who decorated the Beis HaMikdash with Avodah Zarah? Why doesn't he choose Tzadikim who wants to do Tchias HaMesim? So he says, this is in Drush number 25, in my edition, starts on page Resh Samachet. He says that the Jewish people at that time argued that Hashem, we are Hashem's avadim. Hashem sold us to our enemies. Now Hashem has no more claim on us. So we're punter for mitzvahs. We're slaves. We were slaves. We were sold. And we're finished with Hashem. Hashem wanted to demonstrate that that's not the case. And as the Torah says, Banim atem Hashem Elokechem. We are Hashem's children. Now, Chazal say that Hashem is a Kohen. Whatever that means, that Hashem is a Kohen, but Hashem is a Kohen. Now, of course, Hashem has to follow halacha. The a Kohen can only be Matami Beis to certain people, to certain relatives. one of whom is, God forbid, a Kohen could be Matami Mase to his child. If we are Avadim, Hashem cannot be Matami Mase to us because he's a Kohen. If we are Banim, then Hashem can be. So the very act of doing Tchias HaMesim, an assumption that Hashem would have to come close to us, to come in contact with us to do Tchias HaMesim, that proves that we are Hashem's children. This is Drush. This is the level of Torah called Drush. And Gemara says, Ein Meshivin al HaDrush. You can't ask Kashas. It's just a different way of looking at things. So if the very act of Hashem doing Tchias HaMesim proves to us that we are Hashem's children, except for one problem. Gemara says, when are we called Hashem's children? When we are tzaddikim. But the Jewish people argued, we were Rishayim. Hashem exiled us. Hashem sold us to the Goyim. When we're Avadim, we're not Hashem's children. When we're Rishayim, we're not Hashem's children. We're Avadim. Famous Gemara. Hashem wants to show, no, you're still all my children. So Hashem had to choose Rishayim to do Tchias HaMesim to, in order to demonstrate that we are his children. And he says that in this way, we can explain the psukim in greater depth. Because the pasuk, Hashem said to Yechezkel, Ben Adam atzmot ha'ele, these bones, okay, it's a mashal for all the Jewish people who have thought that maybe now we can throw off the yoke. They say, Yavshua atzmotenu, our bones have dried up, our hope is lost. We have no further hope of a connection to Hashem because he's sold us to another master. Ko amar Hashem Elokim, hine ani potecha kivrechem ami, I will open your graves. Okay. Hashem says, I will personally come and open your graves, okay, even though I'm Kohen. Ani Hashem. Okay. The language is, okay, he uses a language of ani, I am doing it. We say in the Pesach Haggadah, ani Hashem, ani velo shaliach, ani hu velo acher. I myself will do it. I'm not, now a Kohen could send a shliach to open a grave, but I myself will open the grave, even though I'm a Kohen. That proves that you're my children. This also explains, when we read the psukim yesterday, pointed out that there are two separate nevuos. One is the first nevuah causes the body parts to come back together, the bones to find their body mates and to reconnect, and the skin, the flesh and the skin, but the bodies were still dead. And then there was a second nevuah that brought the neshama into them. And one of the mefarshim, and I forgot which one, but one of the mefarshim explained that a separate nevuah was necessary because the Gemara says there are three things that the key is not given to man. One of them is Tchias HaMesim. So Hashem couldn't just tell Yechezkel generally, go fix up those bodies and make them come back to life. It took a special act, so to speak, by Hashem, a special nevuah to make the neshamos come back in. Because that's ani, only I, Hashem, can do it. And the said that fits in with the parish of the Parashat Drachim, that the whole point was to demonstrate that we are still Hashem's children. The other thing I said, that would be an interesting note to end on, but I did say yesterday that we would come back and talk about one of the very first words in Pasuk. It says, Vayotzi'eni, Hashem took me out. Where did Hashem take me out from? So one of them, Farshim, on the pasuk, I think it was Marikra, says Vayotzi'eni mi Bavel, he took me out of Bavel. Based on our Gemara, that according to one opinion, these were these were Bnei Ephraim who were killed by Plishtim. That would explain why Hashem had taken Yechezkel out of Bavel. Hashem lived in Bavel. Hashem prophesied in Bavel. Yechezkel. Yechezkel lived in Bavel and prophesied in Bavel. What was he doing with the Mesim, the Shevet Ephraim in the land of the Plishtim? Well, success by Yotzieni. Hashem took me out, which Marie Krasev says means he took me out of Bavel. Perhaps he's alluding to that opinion in the Gemara that these were the Bnei Ephraim. Either way, however you understand it, it is also a mashal about eventual Tchias HaMesim and rebirth of the Jewish people, as we brought from Mefarshim, and Yis Hashem should see it in Herav Yamin.